The following programming is sponsored by Clean and Sober Media. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
If you need immediate help, please call the National Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline at 1-800-662-HELP. Welcome to Clean and Sober Radio, brought to you in part by Jefferson University Hospitals and Thomas Jefferson University, providing excellent clinical and compassionate care in the Philadelphia region, a proven leader in healthcare and education since 1825. And now, here are your hosts, Gary Hendler and Mark Sigmund.
Hey, hi, everybody. Thanks for joining us and welcome to the show. Clean and Sober Radio features real people with real stories about addiction to drugs and alcohol. Mark, what do we have this week in recovery news?
We got another drug bust. This bust comes out of Oceanside, California. Two residents were arrested on Thursday after cocaine was found on a small plane that made an emergency landing on State Route 76 early Thursday. The pilots, 21-year-old Gabriel Breit and passenger Troy Smith, were arrested on suspicion of transportation of illegal narcotics. Basically, they were flying along and their single-engine airplane had problems. And they were, I guess they were high or something, and they went and they actually did an emergency landing on the highway. And the cops came up to look at the plane and check the plane, and they saw one of the passengers go to the woods and drop a big package of cocaine in the woods. Actually, it was not a huge package, but they caught him right there. But could you imagine flying along and you have to do an emergency landing when you're trying to smuggle?
Not too smart. Dummies again. Dummy smart.
Yes, we get a lot of them when on here.
Yeah, we certainly do. That's an interesting story. I want to make a little announcement here. You know, Mark and I have been doing this show for almost 12 or 13 years. And we continue to meet, I think we continue to meet our goals, including education, our audience, and assisting folks getting into recovery, into treatment. We're now asking our audience to join us during our fundraising season. To contribute to the show, to help us help others. I mean, that's the reason why we're actually on here. And, you know, whatever you can contribute, $2, $5, 10 bucks, we want to keep the show going. And I'm sure all of you would agree with us that this is a good programming. Go to cleanandsoberbroadcasting.com and go to the donate button and be part of our mission. And we appreciate it. We want to keep this going. And for another 14 years, right, Mark?
Yes, carry the message across the country and globe.
When we come back, we have two incredible people from Gaudenzia are here. They used to be called Gaudenzia House. I think now it's Gaudenzia Treatment, whatever. An incredible organization. And when we come back, we're going to learn all about Gaudenzia and these two gentlemen. We'll be right back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
When you look into the mirror, is your addiction staring back at you? Too many times, that answer is yes. At Gaudenzia, we see you differently. We see you as a whole person, healthy and at peace, living beyond the stranglehold of drugs or alcohol. At Gaudenzia, we see a pathway with tools you can use to lead you to recovering the life you want to live, recovering the life you want to share with the family who loves you. At Gaudenzia, we see hope. And believe with the effective treatment we can offer, designed uniquely for you, within reach of where you are standing, you'll look into the mirror and see the potential for the fulfilling life that is in you. This time, you'll find your hope at Gaudenzia. It's spelled Gaudenzia. Call 833-976-4357. Again, it's 833-976-4357. Begin to recover your life through treatment at Gaudenzia today. Begin today.
Hi, this is Randy the Blade Lurch. I listen to Clean and Sober Radio.
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
Hey, you can also enjoy Clean and Sober Radio on these radio stations. WWDB in Philadelphia, 97.5 FM HD2 in Philadelphia, WGAC in Augusta, Georgia, and WNBR in Tampa, Florida.
Waiting for our radio.
Yeah, we are.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
When you wait for music, it's more special. You know that?
Yeah, it kind of keeps you on the edge of your seat with that silence, you know?
Yeah. Listen, we're going to ask a question today, and this is how we want to play it on Facebook. And, you know, our listeners that want to watch us are on Facebook, and they are at the Clean and Sober Radio page, okay? And we encourage, you know, all our audience to check in with us. Here's the question. Do you need to go to rehab to get clean and sober? And the answers that we get, as long as the callers give us their name, location, and the answer to the question, we could hopefully get all their answers broadcast live on radio.
That's great. I'd love to hear people's opinions.
So would I. Okay, let's get the stars of the show on here right now. Dr. Philip Moore is the corporate medical director of Gaudenzia, and he is with Warren Roy Jr. You have 28 years of professional experience in human service professional working with substance abuse, so you got a good resume too. You're the real deal. Right, Warren?
Yes.
Okay. Dr. Moore, welcome to the show. Warren, welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you. Appreciate being here.
Yeah. You a little nervous or no? You all right?
Ted.
Huh?
Ted.
How about you, Doc?
I'm good.
You're good. Okay. All right. So, you know, I think our audience in this area outside of Philadelphia know and have heard of Gaudenzia. But for people around the world, especially around the country, let's just talk about Gaudenzia and what it means. The history of Gaudenzia, it started in 1968 by a group of community members who wanted to help themselves and each other. So I guess a group of people got together to overcome their challenges with drug and alcohol use, and then they soon figured out that a group is better than being an individual and getting help. And that's the history. That's what started. Gaudenzia is special, I believe. They have so many marked programs. They have so many locations. It's like whatever you need, you can get there.
Yeah, and I've, you know, as a counselor in the field, I've met so many people that got clean at Gaudenzia. It's a great program, and it's just great to have you guys on the show.
Yeah, welcome to the show. You know, I can remember coming up in my recovery, and Gaudenzia was a tough place in the early 80s. It was no joke, you know? You're going to Gaudenzia? Good luck.
That used to be the reputation,
right.
And then it got...
Then it got for real, then it straightened itself out, you know? Right. Warren, do you remember that back in the day?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I know individuals that went through that Gaudenzia, what they called a therapeutic community.
Yeah.
However, we made drastic changes since then.
Oh, I know. That's totally
a lot of evidence-based practices.
A great reputation. And so, Doc, how did you get connected with Gaudenzia?
So I started working with Gaudenzia in, around 2016. My background is I'm originally from Michigan, but I started and did training in Illinois and Maine and finally Pennsylvania. I did training in internal medicine, got boarded in addiction medicine, did a fellowship in medical toxicology, and did a lot of critical care work. And working as a hospitalist in the hospital system, I realized that there was a issue with connecting individuals who had been admitted into hospital systems and were being treated for their physical health, but also wanted treatment for substance use. And so I started exploring what the issues were, and I just progressively took on more and more of a role within Gaudenzia, starting back in 2016 to make things better for individuals that were looking for help. And so I've been full-time with Gaudenzia since about 2021. That's me.
Maybe I should have asked this question before we went on, and you don't have to answer it. Are either of you in recovery?
No.
I am.
How long?
28 years.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's cool.
Well, yeah, and you know, you said you went on full time in 2021, and what was it like, kind of before that, navigating the pandemic? Did you see a lot of changes? You know, more addiction, more overdose.
It was an interesting time because you had two pandemics going on, and so prior to COVID, the opioid got a lot of press. But then what happened during COVID was it was almost like another pandemic was almost eclipsing the other. And yeah. So we really had to put a lot of effort and energy into stopping that tide from turning.
Did you see during the opioid, during the COVID, an increase in patients?
There was probably, it was a different time. I would say maybe a decrease in people coming in.
And because they just weren't coming in? Is that what it was?
There were, for a number of reasons, yeah. There were a lot of, the government was, had programs that were increasing money that would fund people, give them more money so that they could stay at home. That did a number of things for people seeking recovery.
That makes a lot of sense.
Well, Gary, it does. And the crazy part about it is, I was working with an inpatient place too. And you would get these where everybody would catch COVID. And it was like, eventually, it was like we have to test every single person coming in, but it would spread like wildfire through the unit. And it really made things complicated.
We had that at the prison. Same situation.
Yeah, it's take a whole group of people and it spreads like wildfire.
And I think one of the things, even what Doc said, when the money came on the streets, I had one individual, the check came, they said, I'm out, and they left.
Yeah. That's what you call short-sighted.
And then we had to look at different ways of servicing folks. I mean, we didn't stop services. And I remember the first person that had COVID, we had to isolate them. We still did the treatment. They were given their assignments on paper. The counts were coming in check. We were protected. I mean, it was a crazy period of time where we had to adjust.
Well, you have a lot of locations. Was it pretty spread out evenly, the COVID, in all of your facilities during that time? Do you know those numbers or anything?
All our facilities were impacted by COVID. Mm-hmm. And it was very, very interesting because you had the CDC recommendations for COVID, but we are in Pennsylvania, Delaware, Maryland, Washington, D.C., and Pennsylvania is a commonwealth, so that means that each county functions as a state, as its own autonomous entity. And so what was happening, in Pennsylvania and Maryland was that we really had each county operating with its own set of rules and what they expected us to do with COVID. And that changed constantly.
So your organization with multi-facilities, there wasn't one law even in your umbrella if they're in different counties.
Correct. So we really had to be mindful and do a lot of just continuous maintaining of relations with our guarantors, with the with the insurances, with the counties, to make sure that we were managing COVID the way they wanted us to.
Right, sure. So as a medical director and in that environment, you have a lot of clients who are hitting you for drugs while they're in there?
Oh, constantly.
Yeah. That would have been us more, right?
Absolutely. I'd be at the door knocking on the window, you know. But you know, another whole thing that you ran into, right, was staff getting sick. And thank God for, at least on outpatient levels, you know, being able to use the computer. But you guys, did you have staffing shortages at different points?
Oh, constantly. And we had to always follow the COVID staffing protocols as well, because you not only do you have protocols for how to handle, the clients or patients that you're helping, but you also have protocols for your staff, and you've got to follow both, and they were constantly changing.
1-888-728-9941. That's the number to call into the studio and get to talk to these two gentlemen from Gaudenzia. 1-888-728-9941. And we are talking with Dr. Moore, who's medical director at Gaudenzia, and Warren Roy, who has decades of experience in this field. I want to make just a quick announcement. You know, Mark and I like to recognize people in our community who are doing really good things. And I'd like to give a shout out to John Goodwin. He's the owner of K&A Boxing, located at F and Kensington Avenue. That's in Kensington, obviously, and that's the Badlands. But this guy is doing great things with kids. He's teaching them how to box. He's keeping them off the street. And he's also helping the sick and suffering addicts down there in Kensington. So John Goodwin, owner of K&A Boxing, we all salute you for the great work that you're doing. I just want to mention that because it's important for us in recovery to be giving back.
That's great. It's an awesome thing. Just keeping these kids off the street, like you were saying. I mean, especially with the fentanyl out there and everything like that.
Yeah. So how's Gaudenzia different from the other rehabs? Why should somebody call you guys and not call blah, 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 blah? I won't even mention their names, okay?
Gaudenzia does a wonderful job of providing person-centered treatment. And from the minute they walk through the door, and so we cater treatment to that individual, assessing them, recommending things from medication-assisted treatment to, identifying what their nutrition needs are, doing a mental health assessment, doing a full biopsychosocial. So it's very thorough.
And you have a lot, it seems like a lot of specialties, your different facilities, pregnant women, all sorts of different conditions. Warren, can you explain that a little deeper?
Yeah, we offer a full continuum of care for those struggling with substance use disorder and co-occurring conditions, including crisis stabilization, withdrawal management, residential treatment programs, intensive outpatient programming, harm reduction. We're looking at harm reduction, medication-assisted treatment. That's with Suboxone, Subutex, Vivitrol. We also will set folks, if they're on methadone or want to be on methadone, we have relationships with other organizations that, may prescribe methadone. We don't prescribe methadone at this particular point. However, we will support folks if that's what they want. We address social determinants of needs and health, which include affordable housing. We have programs from withdrawal management, which is your detox, the old detox, to affordable housing units and everything in between, your inpatient, your women with children treatment, your specifically women, gender-specific treatment.
You so, do have outpatient.
Intensive outpatient and outpatient. We have several locations
In
Philadelphia and across the state.
Is it easy to get in? Do you need insurance?
we would prefer that you had insurance, but no, you don't need insurance because right. we work with single county authorities in different counties. In Philadelphia, it's BHSI. If they don't have insurance or a lack of insurance, you know, they may have, you know, some parts of insurance, but yes, we can get them funded through BHSI right. in Philadelphia.
If you're listening or you're watching this show and you think you have a problem or you know you have a problem, check in with the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline at 1-800-662-HELP, 1-800-662-HELP, and they will probably refer you to Gaudenzia. It must be one of their resources, and that number is 1-833-796-HELP, 833-976-4357.
Yeah, get some help today, right?
And yeah, no excuses.
No excuses, and we see it all the time. It's like, you know, just get treatment, get the help, give Gaudenzia a call.
And just to piggyback on that, in 2020, there were over 40 million individuals that had, and the people in the United States that had a substance use disorder. Only 6.5% of those folks received treatment. So, I mean, that's a big number.
That's a sad
that's important.
State of affairs. Phil Y. from Cincinnati reached out to us and said, are we looking at decades to get the opioid addiction problem solved?
I believe so. You know, we've seen some good news lately about the overdose rate, but yeah. And you're also hearing about some possibilities, one of them being a fentanyl vaccine, which is way off in the distance, you know. But hopefully, you know, we will catch up on this. And what do you think, Dr. Moore? Do you think we're looking at decades to get this under control, or do you think we're kind of heading that way?
It appears that many states are making huge strides. There's still states that are struggling, and hopefully those states will learn from the states that seem to be changing the course. So will it take decades? I hope not. You know, hopefully we can get this. Continue to get this under control within the next, you know, 5 years, but it, you know, we might be looking at a decade.
You know, the thing that's always confused me about this is throughout history, you see, you know, cocaine was huge during the 80s, right? And but it always seemed to switch at some point where there was like a new kind of big drug of choice, you know, and it seems like these opioids, we've just been stuck, you know. And have you noticed that, Warren?
Yes, I believe the opioids have always been there, but I think now you have the synthetic opioids, your yeah. fentanyls. You have folks using chemicals that aren't even opioids. Your xylazine, you know. However, I think that we have made strides. We've made strides with the use of medication-assisted treatment. That was something that was unheard. Well, I know that Gaudenzia, you know, we were pretty, you know, drug-free. And then we started seeing through research, the research showed that medication-assisted treatment worked. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we started with the Vivitrol, and then we, you know, started with the Suboxone, the Subutex. So those, you know, I think that we have made strides. Decades, I don't know.
It used to be that you could go to your local pharmacy and anyone could get a, you know, over-the-counter diacetylmorphine, which was heroin. It was liquid in a bottle. You didn't even need a prescription. You could go to your physician. Physicians were treating individuals for, you know, every ailment under the sun with morphine. And so, you know, that was back, you know, early, you know, late 1800s, 1900s, they passed act, the Harrison Act. They did a number of things over the years to introduce various legislation. So we've always had an issue with drugs. And I think it really has gotten a lot more attention when the numbers surpassed the that of motor vehicle accidents, approximately 2013.
Again, if you're watching, you want to answer our question of do you need to go into inpatient with your name and address. We'll mention your name. The reason why we're doing this, we have so many people who reach out to us during the show live, we can't get to everybody. So if it's specific, your name, your location, and answer the question, we'll be glad to mention it on the radio. And we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
A cancer diagnosis can knock the wind out of you. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health can help. Our brand new Asplund Cancer Pavilion brings you 86,000 square feet of cancer-fighting science for truly comprehensive care. Backed by the strength of an NCI-designated cancer center. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health. The power to out-science cancer.
Hey, this is Jackie Marling, and I listen to Clean and Sober Radio. This is still Jackie Marling, and you should listen to Clean and Sober Radio. Everybody should listen to Clean and Sober Radio.
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
Thanks for joining us. You found Clean and Sober Radio. I'm Gary Hemlin, along with Mark Sigmund. We're here with Warren Roy and Dr. Philip Moore. They are professionals at Gaudenzia. Dr. Moore is the medical director, and Warren Roy is 28 years clean and has been in this profession for 28 years. Is that a coincidence or what?
I started working in the shelter system as soon as I got clean.
As soon as you got out.
At Ridge Avenue Shelter part-time while I was going to school and at community college, which was right up the street, and we're sitting here now. So.
Warren, why did you decide to get clean? What?
Well, you and I had a discussion earlier in reference to some of the folks we knew. So, you know, those times were great. However, at the end, you know, I was going in the store stealing crab meat and salmon, spark plugs, deodorant, anything I can get my hands on to sell quick, and had five open cases. And I knew that either I was going to kill myself or go to jail for a long time. And, you know, I remember the night before I went into treatment, I asked God to help me, and something said, you know, he ain't going to give you no token. Tomorrow morning, you need to go ahead on in and straighten your life out. And
where'd you go?
I actually went in the Girard Medical Center in the detox.
Oh, Girard, yeah.
Yes, and then I went in the recovery house. I went in. I took advantage of everything that was offered to me, partial hospitalization program. I knew that long-term recovery worked, so I made my own long-term recovery. Recovery house, partial, well, detox, inpatient, partial, you know, and I started making, you know, 12-step meetings.
You know, Warren's an example of somebody who really took it seriously and did everything you were told to do, and that's usually a recipe for success.
Yes, and still, you know, I'll be at my home group tonight.
That's good. That's good stuff. Jane S. from St. James, Utah. You know where St. James, Utah is? It's like a ski town or something.
I don't know, Gary. I don't know. We need that map again. Remember?
Right. Yeah, that was 10 years ago.
10 years ago. We used to have a map where we put a tack or something in where everybody called from. And but we got away from it. So we need to start that again.
So Jane S. from St. James, Utah. She says, I am a recreational user of marijuana. There seems to be no problem.
You know, it's so tough because one of the things with marijuana that you see is not just the drug, but all the, you know, a lot of people start eating bad. You know, they start not taking care of themselves in so many different ways. And so not only is it dangerous, but it can catch up with you in so many different ways. It's one of those drugs that is When we talk about the disease of addiction being insidious, yeah. You know, what other tool does it use? One that people say is not a drug, right? And what do you guys think about that? About
my perspective, my professional perspective as an addiction physician that's cared for a lot of people, thousands that present for various drug toxicities. Anytime you're obtaining a drug from the streets, you can't trust your drug dealer. You don't know what is in your drug supply. So if you are using marijuana, unless it's coming from a dispensary, it could be contaminated. And we are seeing more samples with fentanyl as well as other things. So my recommendation would be, if an individual will not stop using, would be at least to obtain their marijuana from a dispensary. I believe, I can't recall if Utah is a state with recreational, but there are adjacent states I know that do have recreational dispensaries.
Well, Doc, here's the problem. Anybody's out on the streets who's addicted to something, they're not thinking rationally. They don't care if it comes from the supermarket or the gas station. They just want to get high. And, you know, what you're saying, it would be ideal, but I don't think it works that way. I guess if you're not an addict and you're a recreational user, you have your mind. I guess you do want to make sure it's okay and you would go to a dispensary. But if you're a full-blown addict, I don't think you care where anything's coming from. Because, you know, when somebody overdoses, everybody's looking where they copped it from. Mm-hmm. And a rational person would think, what kind of insanity is this? It's insanity.
Well, and another thing that's not talked about enough is pesticides. You know, that a lot of this marijuana, even in the dispensaries, has pesticides in it. So it's like, down the road, are we going to start seeing more cancers and things from the pesticide?
Mark.
Yes.
We made that announcement about saying your name and your address.
Yes.
And one person, Laura Story, says she's from Winter Haven, Florida.
Oh, and I hope she's okay down there, you know, and we'll have to send
I don't know where that is in Florida. Yeah. I think Southern Florida's okay.
But we'll have to shoot some prayers out for Florida.
I want to tell you something. These major storms, it's like a major – I mean, it's easier than a major snowstorm, but it prevents people from getting to meetings, getting medicine that they need. You know, it's not just like, there's a lot of rain down here and it's dangerous. People like us can't get what they need.
Yeah, and you can, and you know, the electric being out, and I mean, there's so many different things with it. So
yeah. So, what is a typical day? Let me ask Warren first. What is a typical day at Gaudenzia for you? What do you do there?
Well, actually, I'm semi-retired.
Half a day like for you?
Half a day is answering calls, trying to get in folks in to services, contacting other providers, the criminal justice system, mm-hmm. Setting up and arranging presentations, meeting with other individuals. Again, I learned early on is not one horse that runs the race, and you know, we need to work with each other. So a lot of times it's calling different hospitals, connecting with other resources out in the community.
Do you get a lot of court ordered?
Yes. We actually are working with the Defenders Association treatment courts, all of the court systems in Philadelphia, and I believe the counties are also working with the drug courts.
Are those folks segregated from the rest? I mean, if they're in there I don't know what kind of crimes, but is there?
No, we don't.
It's low level stuff anyway, isn't it?
Yes, everyone. I mean, generally our treatment, the individuals, the treatment is in one program. We do have a program, Gaudenzia DRC. We get state folks that come from the state correctional institutions or Department of Corrections
on their way back to release.
Some are community. Like community-based programs where they're halfway, you know, in the program and then they're out on the streets and they're trying to get out back into the community. And those individuals are in certain programs.
Do you see, Warren, the people that are coming in reentry programs, are they more grateful than the person that's just been in there for 30 days or whatever? Are these people grateful now they have a shot to have their freedom?
I wouldn't say they were more grateful. I believe they may have been in periods of time where they haven't used chemicals,
yeah,
which makes it a little different as opposed to someone coming straight from Kensington.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's a difference there. So no, I don't think. I mean, if a person comes in and they want, you know, to recover,
yeah,
you know, doesn't need to be segregated, or they don't have a different, you know. Again, I look at my own story.
Sure,
the end was, you know, I couldn't go on no more like that.
Let me ask something. I'm just thinking of what you're saying. Do you think people actually consciously want to go into a rehab and get better? Or they're pushed by something, somebody. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I had no interest in it when I went in.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's always kind of, it's split. You know, you get some that are just there for themselves and they see everything, but I'd say the majority are pushed in some kind of way. Would you guys agree? By a wife or by a, some, you know.
Wife.
Sometimes one of the things that we assess is their motivation. Mm-hmm. So, you know, exploring what that is. So for one individual, yes, it could be their wife, their spouse, their
employer,
yeah. It could be their kids. It could be the criminal justice system. You know, there's any number or combination of factors, and they could have a history of prior treatment successes or failures. And so just looking at those motivations really helps to determine their treatment and their prognosis.
That's interesting. It makes a lot of sense.
And the initial screening and assessment, as Dr. Moore stated, is very important because it looks at the whole person, their history, the amount of drugs they use, and what types of drugs. So I think that's very important. I remember hearing one time, though, that somebody in a meeting said that if you were in here, somebody said you need to be in here. Now, whether or not you told yourself that, or like you said, your wife, or the criminal justice system, or your children. I mean, you know, it's a lot of, you know.
Doc, anybody in your family with addiction problems? And I want to ask you, why do you, not possessed you, what made you interested in this field of medical service?
Well, I think every family has members that not only have substance use, but have mental health,
yeah,
have other, you know, other things going on. I think every family has examples of that. For me, it was the frustrations that I felt when I was working as a hospitalist, and a toxicologist, when I was admitting individuals that had overdoses, intentional, accidental, that we identify there was a lot of substance use disorders that were mixed in, and so we started developing programs to try and do warm handoffs to drug and alcohol providers, and the number of barriers that we were you know experiencing was very frustrating back in those days, and so it really gave me pause, and it really changed what my career changed because
really
of it. Mm-hmm.
That's very interesting. Were you around for the prescription monitoring program?
Yes.
So I was on the board in Harrisburg for that. And that was, for our audience, prescription monitoring program was and is in most states. It's a program that restricts a physician from writing prescription multiple times to the same person, and also a pharmacist. So you have to, when somebody would give you a prescription, you had to check the computer, see if they were going, we call them, you know, what do we call them? Quaalude shopping or doctor shopping, whatever the hell.
Not Quaalude shopping anymore, but back in Quaalude your day.
did that help at all?
It did. There was a number of measures that states learned were effective. The prescription drug monitoring programs was one of those. I believe in Pennsylvania, that program was put in place approximately 2015.
Exactly, 2015.
And they could show the data and outcomes, and physicians were required and are required to do a prescription drug monitoring background check within 7 days of any controlled substance prescription that they write.
So wait a minute. They write the prescription. The guy gets the dope or whatever it is. And 7 days later, the doctor checks it to see if this guy was all right. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, that's the way the legislation is written.
Yeah, I'm sure.
The idea is hopefully the doctor checks it, you know, before they write, and most doctors do.
They do, because the penalties are pretty severe for this.
Correct.
So I think it's a good program. If you're legitimate, you're legitimate. You know, how much medical training did you get for addiction while you're actually in medical school?
Oh, back in those days, very little.
Yeah. I know it's been increased. I know in Harrisburg we were also involved in that during that same period of time, that there was a requirement in medical schools.
When I went through medical school, they actually put the emphasis on making sure we were trained to treat pain. So we had to do a number of hours and making sure that we knew how much morphine to prescribe. And I remember always scratching my head and being like, this just doesn't make sense.
Mm. I mean, because you were dealing with people like Warren, me, and Mark, who would tell you every story there was to get the dope, you know? And I always picture that the doctors were like innocent people going through school and didn't know what was actually going on outside.
But one of the things that you said, I mean, I've been doing it for years, and I remember when we were hired doctors, and, you know, we used to do a global assessment functioning. It was a GAF where they, you know, they would put, like, as a 0 to 100, and at 100, you're supposed to be like Superman, and 0, you're supposed to, they were giving them 90s, and I'm like, what? This person's, you know, they don't even have a job, or, you know, homeless, and, you know, they're 90. So I saw a lot since then, though, has improved the training with the doctors, the psychiatrists, the medical professionals. A lot has changed, especially at Gaudenzia.
Yeah, that's good. That's
huge.
That's really good. I mean, it's no disrespect to the doctors. It's just you guys were, you know, smart. But we were smarter. You know?
There was one story I can think of. Approximately 2015, I remember I was working a night shift as a hospitalist, and I responded to a code, and, you know, it was a younger person with a cancer, and he died. And during the code, there was a little film that was found in his mouth, and when I looked and did a check to fill out his death certificate, something didn't sit well with me. And when I spoke to the nurses, his fentanyl patch just kept going missing during his hospitalization, and they kept replacing it. And so what that little film was he had been taking it off and chewing it, and that was, you know, and he died right there in the hospital. I actually published that in a forensic journal.
Really?
You know, journal. You can read about the case, because I got drug levels to prove that my theory was correct.
I never heard. Did you ever hear that, chewing on fentanyl?
I have heard of chewing on fentanyl, but that story really puts it into perspective. I mean, you know, so this person just OD'd, and
that's scary. Oh man, it's so scary.
It really is. And you know what's crazy? Like, whenever I go to the ER, just being a drug and alcohol counselor, I always hear, like, the drunk person down the hallway, you know, that's there for some kind of, you know, injury or something like that. And it's just amazing how much it has come into medical care, and how back then they weren't really paying attention the way they are now, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But overall, is it getting any better?
I think it is. Do you guys?
Do you really?
Yeah, I think we've made a lot of strides. Again, with the, you know, the use of medication-assisted treatment, our assessments have gotten a lot better. First of all, we do a screening and then an assessment, And then that's how we developed the treatment plan to help folks. We look more at the strengths as opposed to the weaknesses of folks, you know, because we, I mean, you can attest to it. An addict has strengths. You know, they get up early in the morning. They, you know, I mean, it's a whole lot of strengths that a person has that you can develop while you're in treatment if you know that what they are. Mm-hmm.
That's good to hear.
I think medication-assisted treatment is one of the things that's made a huge impact for individuals in recovery. You know, decreasing their risk for relapse, and when someone does have a slip up, if they're on a treatment like medication assisted therapy, they have a better outcome. Mm-hmm.
And I think also harm reduction was another newer thing. We started looking at harm reduction. I mean, you can't treat anybody if they're dead. So I mean, the needle exchanges, the wound care. I mean, those are the things I think that you know, we need to be looking at in the future.
Our number here, if you want to talk to either of these gentlemen, 1-888-728-9941. And just reminding, if you want to reach out to us on Facebook, please tell us where you are from. And if you think there's a difference between inpatient and outpatient. And what else do we say, Mark?
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Yeah.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
When you look into the mirror, do you see your addiction to drugs or alcohol staring back at you? At Gaudenzia, in that mirror, we see you, healthy and at peace. At Gaudenzia, we see the tools you can use to recover the life you want to live. Hope is in the effective treatment we can offer, designed uniquely for you. Your hope is waiting at Gaudenzia. Call 833-976-4357. 833-976-4357. Through Gaudenzia, you can recover your life. Begin today.
Hey, this is Mark Stein from the classic rock band Vanilla Fudge. Keep on rocking, Alypso. Good luck to everybody and all the best.
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
And we're back. Mark Sigmund and I, Gary Hendler, we're back. We're talking to people from Gaudenzia. It's not Gaudenzia House now. It's Gaudenzia Treatment and Recovery. Yeah. And it's been around forever on the East Coast, and it has an incredible reputation now. And there are so many specialties and resources at Gaudenzia for almost any kind of situation that you might have. So it's a great place. The phone number there is 833-976-HELP. 833-976-4357. Hey, you guys have a mobile bus, right? Is that what you have? So
yes.
You can actually go to the person? Do you go to actual people's houses or what?
No, we don't. We don't go to houses yet.
Yeah.
We don't have plans, but we actually have a really neat program. It's the Pennsylvania's first licensed mobile opiate treatment program. It's located in the central northern area of Pennsylvania, around like Northumberland, Union counties. And it has a schedule, so you know, 6 days of the week it operates, and it goes to set locations during hours of the day, and we give medications, and so it brings treatment to them so that they don't have to drive as far.
Do you get people into inpatient or outpatient from that bus?
If that's the treatment that they're determined to need. A lot of people do well with outpatient treatment, and so we like to at least give them a shot initially. And over time, if they're struggling despite, you know, our efforts and what resources we do have on the bus, then, yeah, we may need to make those referrals, and we do.
That's a really incredible service, you know? And, of course, outpatient makes it easier on the family, on employment, on a lot of things. So if they can do it at that level, but if not, inpatient, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. James P. from Augusta, Georgia. That's one of the cities where we broadcast out of. Great show. I listen on WGAC in Augusta.
It's awesome. And hopefully they're okay down there.
I think, yeah.
It is right. Hitting Georgia, too. So.
Let me give you the last email, then we'll wrap this up in a couple minutes. Barbara G. from San Francisco. Love this show. So much information, and you guys make it relatable.
Ah, it's cool. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
You know, we were talking earlier about MAT, and, you know, these days it's like you don't have the runway with the fentanyl out there. So it's like when you're understanding medically assisted treatment like a Suboxone and things like that, the big thing in my head as a counselor is like you had said, Warren, about like you can't treat somebody if they're dead because right. It's like they, you know, so many people, you don't have the time for them to go through multiple relapses, you know, these young adults with fentanyl out there.
Yeah, that's so true. Let me just say this. We have a lot of viewers. I don't know how many listeners, a lot of viewers. It's probably because you guys are here, okay? So I think even though most of them didn't mention where they're from, we have to mention their names. Don't we, Mark?
Absolutely. Our loyal crew.
All right. Judge Maddox, John Logue, Kevin Heyer, Allison Price Berwick. Thanks for providing this show for all. Ted Klotz, Lou Montana, Lisa Harris, C. Ruger, Laura Story,
Mark Willig,
Deborah Borks, something like that.
Oh, this is cool. Madeline Creighton, listening from London, England.
That's what we want.
Share the show.
From London. That is good. Christina LaChimia.
Did we get Lisa Harris from Elkins Park, PA?
No, get that in.
Yes.
That's local.
And she says she's very thankful for your show and resources like Gaudenzia.
That's great. That's what the show is all about, helping people get into treatment.
And I got to tell you, your guys' programming is very impressive. I mean, just the it's so complicated, you know, for people on the outside to understand these, you know, hitting so many different areas of treatment, and that's what you guys do.
And if I could just mention this real quick, also prevention. We have a program that's been around for years called Centro Primaveras right there at 5th and Lehigh.
Sounds like a restaurant.
Nah, it's where the children, the adolescents in that community can go after school. We have summer programming there, and especially that area, Fairhill, I believe it is, and Kensington, you know, so after school programming it happens right there, Centro Primavera.
That's great. It's so important for the family.
Prevention. And we're getting ready to have our 30th annual Women and Women with Children's Conference in Harrisburg.
When is that?
I don't have that in front of me.
On your website at Gaudenzia?
17th of November 2nd. Seventh, the brain's behind the operation.
Where's that voice coming from?
I don't know.
From your brain, from the very deep part of your brain.
November the 7th.
Okay.
In
Guys,
Harrisburg.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. Heather, thanks, even though you were scared to come on camera.
She was supposed to be on camera?
Give it to her. There she is.
She's on camera
there
now.
There she is. Guys, we made a statement. Listen, this is our fundraising season. Please go to our website, cleanandsoberbroadcasting.com. Help us out if you love the show so we can help more people. Remember, if you or a loved one is struggling with addiction, help is available. Please call 1-800-662-HELP. That's 1-800-662-HELP. For Clean and Sober Radio, I'm Gary Hendler.
I'm Mark Sigmund.
Thanks for joining us, and thank you for all the support that you give us each and every day. Have a great weekend, everybody.
The dust away. I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves. I hope we pass the audition.
WWDB 860 AM Talk Radio. Follow us on Twitter. Visit us, www.wwdbam.com. This is WWDB 860 AM Talk Radio in Philadelphia, the home of the Liberty Bell, Ben Franklin, Freedom, and Rocky.